So in seminary, I remember my preaching professor saying to us pretty early on, whatever you do, don't start a sermon talking about how tired you are. And then the next thing that he said is that you want to always be vulnerable and honest with people. I don't really know how to do both at the same time today. We've had some house guests the last couple of days, and I'm emotionally and spiritually drained from the last couple of days, just with men's breakfast and with grandma's memorial and now today. And Lord, how old are our house guests? 22-ish? Okay. I have never felt so not 22 in my entire life. And I get a lot of people when I talk about, oh, I feel old, this group groans at me, usually. We can all accept that like 36 is not the same as 22, right? That's a big difference, and I feel so not 22. I saw pictures of myself when I was 22 the other day. I was beautiful, I was young, I had no wrinkles, like there was, like my face was baby and the hair was this way and now it's all gone that way now. And so I can see the, what has happened to you, beautiful Brian, when I look at these pictures. And so I see these 22-year-olds who come to the house and just say, let's watch everything on YouTube together tonight. And we're up till like I don't know if you know this, there's a lot of content on the internet. And I think we watched a good percentage of it. And then we go to bed at 1:30. And then all of a sudden, time kicked us in the shins this morning by giving us one less hour of sleep. And it was like some terrible joke when my alarm went off, like somebody is pulling a prank on me. And I was exhausted. I'm tired. Everyone. But you're all here, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful that you guys got up this morning and drudged through the torrential rain that we have right here and with one less hour of sleep, and you're here. And I the thing I keep thinking about is just, I'm so thankful to God that I'm tired because it just gives me an opportunity to be a little bit more reliant upon Him. When I first started in this game of preaching, you know, it would be 20 plus hours of reading scripture and having everything perfectly memorized. And remember, I was beautiful when I started. And I would come up here with all of that. And now it's like God has whittled away all of these things so that now all I have is Him. And I'm really thankful for that this morning. And so now I'm just here this morning saying, This is what you get. Like, this is me. This is all I have to offer you, Lord. But I know you can use that, you know? So our gospel today, remember last week I asked this question that if we just got scraps of the gospel, if somehow, you know, we sent a Bible through a big fan and the scraps just went out into the world, what size of scripture would there need to be for someone to hear it and read that scrap and know enough to believe in the Lord Jesus and trust in Him? And I believe last week our gospel had enough to believe and trust in Jesus. And I believe that about this one too. I love this story. It seems to come up a lot in Lent when people have given up like bread that we talk about, loaves and fishes, so it's kind of fun. This one comes up every year, and I love it. So Jesus is on one side of a lake. There are a lot of people around Him. They're starting to hear about His miracles. They're starting to hear about that God is using this man. And they might not know a lot about Him, but they're excited to be near Him. And at this moment, He goes to the other side of the lake. You know, and I've talked about this before. I've always thought, if this was me, I just keep staying there, like I'll go where the crowds are. But what is Jesus doing? He's drawing them out, isn't He? He's bringing them to a different place. And so He hops in a boat, and He goes the shortest distance between these points. He goes to a lake, and He goes across the lake to a desolate place. And people that know more about geography than me say, the shortest distance that these people could have traveled, the shortest distance from where Jesus was to where He goes is a 2-mile hike. They ran. And the people from other villages around that were further than 2 miles away got up, heard about Jesus, and ran to him. Ran to him. I don't run 2 miles for anything. And so they know he's got the words of eternal life. They want to go near him. I'd run for Jesus. But we know the answer to this, right? How many people are up there?
5,000.
No! At least 5,000. And not only that, but it says 5,000, not counting the men and the children.
The women.
Right?
The women.
Thank you. I'm tired, guys. You know?
No excuse.
Not counting the women and children. And we know that based on demographics and numbers of the day, there were probably more than double 5,000. And so here they are, hearing Jesus speak for hours and the very words of eternal life. And remember, they ran there, so they didn't have time to pack a lunch. And so now Jesus asks Philip, you know, where's the closest Taco Bell? He says, where can we get food for all of these people? And he's drawing Philip out. Do you see what's happening in this story, that Jesus is giving them enough opportunity to answer these things? And he says, where are we going to get food for these people? And they say, there's no way. Like, we could work for years and months, and we could never have enough to feed these people. Jesus is drawing them out, hearing their hearts. Again, Jesus asks a lot of questions for someone who knows all the answers of the universe, because he wants to hear the hearts of the people. And he's drawing them out. And they say, there's a kid here. And I almost think this is a joke, because they're seeing 10,000 people out here, and they're like, there's a kid here who has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Huh? Right? And Jesus says, bring it forward. Jesus prays. Jesus offers these gifts to God, and he gives the baskets to his friends, and he says, give them to the people. And it just keeps extending outward and outward. And this is just the mighty grace of God, that at the end of this story, they collect baskets of the food, and it's more than what they started with. The leftovers are more than what they started with. That's just such a cool little add-on to that story. That's an exclamation point. That's a little panache to the story. That God provides more in the leftovers than we provide in the offering. I love this story, and my first thought is this, and it's something that I think we all need to remember. I'm very self-involved. When we're sitting down for dinner and I'm hungry at a restaurant and they bring the bread out, I always count how many people are at our table and how many pieces of bread are in that basket, because I want to make sure that I wasn't left out. And then I think, like, what's the tactful way to, like, reach across before anyone else can? There's no good way to do it, so you kind of just have to be gentle with it. But I do the math. I do the bread math, and I do that to make sure that I can be fed. And the first thing I want to say today is that if anybody is worried that they won't be fed by God, or that the grace of God does not extend all the way out to them, it's time to stop worrying about that. The key to this story, that there's more in the leftovers than in the offering, is that God's grace is unlimited. So if you're here thinking that that just doesn't extend to me, you know, the bread math is not in my favor. God's grace extends further than we can ever reach. God will never run out of that bread of life. And it's for you. It's for each and every one of us. And there will never be a limit to it. But the other thing that I kind of struggle with when I'm reading it this week, this 5 loaves, 2 fishes thing, because we have, like, stoles and pictures of this, and there's always 5 little cakes and 2 fish. By the way, the most unappetizing meal in the world to me, at just these, like, anchovies and, like, little rice cakes and all of the images that we have. But we see that every time, and I always think, okay, so this is the God of the universe. We're dealing with the God of the universe that spoke everything into creation. And theologians have a term. that is the creation out of nothing, right? That God, there was nothing, and God spoke it into creation. That's who's here on the earth. So Jesus very easily could have sat there, and they could have said, look, there's no Taco Bell around here. There's no anybody. Nobody even brought anything. The five loaves, two fish kid wasn't even there. There is no food at all. And Jesus could have multiplied food for everyone out of nothing. That is in his ability to do that. Creation out of nothing. So why is it that this kid is included in this process? Why is it that this kid comes up? There's nothing magic about the numbers. There's no magic about the five times two. Like, there's no equation that you can do that turns into that number. So why is it important that we hear the number that this kid has? Why is he even included as part of the offering here when God could do it with nothing? And the only thing that I can imagine is that what God is trying to show us in this moment is that we are involved in that process. God could do this alone. He doesn't need us to do that. But it's a special blessing and it's a special grace from God that he includes us in that service, because in doing so, we understand more fully the character of God and the salvation for us. It's a meal for one. This kid has five little cakes, two fish. It's a very small amount. But it's what this guy has to offer. Isn't that interesting that Jesus does that a couple times? Think about the lady, the widow who puts the two coins in the basket. And Jesus says, that lady just gave everything she has. It's not the size of the gift that matters in these moments. It's the fact that they offer everything. And I think what Jesus is showing by bringing this young man into this experience is you are part of this thing. And not only are you part of it, you get to witness the power of God in the multiplication process. You get to bring everything that you have, which might be very small, but you get to see God use it in an incredible way. And I think one of the real temptations, one of the things that we use as an excuse in our service is, I'm not just that talented. I don't really have anything interesting to offer. I'm not a gifted speaker. How am I supposed to share Jesus when I'm struggling too? But at the center of this gospel lesson today is this reminder from Jesus that what we bring doesn't matter as much as the fact that we bring it. That he is excited and prepared to multiply what we have to offer for the purposes of the kingdom. I want you to think for a moment about the way that God has uniquely prepared each and every one of us. I look out into this group and I know we have woodworkers. We have potters. We have tax preparers. Sometimes tax preparers and potters are together. We have people who provide meals. We have people who share their lives. We have people, how many of you have $3 that you can buy a cup of coffee for a friend? We all have a little to give. We all have an amount that is finite that God is prepared to use infinitely. We all have something that God has placed in our hands to use for his kingdom and that he will multiply. So consider for a moment what God has already gifted you with. It could be small. It could be a meal, five loaves, two fishes. It could be a talent. It could be an encouragement. What is it that God has put in your hands today? What is it that he's given you? And are you prepared to use it to have God multiply it? What is God ready to multiply that you bring today? If you're fearful that the grace might run out before it gets to you, think again. If you are fearful that your offering is too small to be any value in the kingdom, think again. God is here to take the finite and make it infinite. And he wants to include you as part of the kingdom. So what is it that God has put in your hands that he is ready to multiply? Let's think on that and pray. All right, I want to do something a little goofy. I want you guys to keep your eyes closed. I want you to put your hands extended. You don't have to put them up. Just imagine that your hands are open. And I want you to consider what God has put in these two hands. God, no matter the size of the gift that we have to offer, no matter what it is, Lord, we know that you will use it for your purposes. We know that you will multiply it to the perfect number. So we pray, Lord, that we would use these things that you have already given us to feed the souls of your people. We pray that you would give us courage and spiritual creativity, holy discernment to know exactly how we would extend your hands, how we would offer you to the world. And so now, Lord, we leave what is in this basket. We leave it for you. We leave it for your purposes. We pray that you would use us this week. Erase from our hearts that excuse that we have so little to give. And use us for you, what you would want to do today. Help us to know that that grace is for us. That what you have done on the cross covers our sins completely. That because of your love, we are loved. That we are your children. That you see value in us. And that we're yours. In Jesus' name.